Seeing everyone. Nice seeing everyone this morning. I was all ready to get up on the platform this morning at the chapel and preach a message, but that's okay. I mean, it's Zoom has its limitations, but it's better than nothing, right? And that's something I want to talk about today. Really, I want to share some things that have been on my heart lately about some of the things that are going on in our society and how we need to be diligent and endeavor to keep the unity amongst ourselves, amongst the brethren, amongst the Lord's people. Because something that I've seen recently is the political climate in our country today. It is characterized by bitter divisions and increasing polarization. So people, generally it was the majority of people were in the center politically, and there was the center right, center left, and then there was the fringes. But what's happening is the fringes are now identifying and characterizing these different factions. And we're seeing a polarization, people moving away from that center and becoming more and more polarized. And as a society, we're growing further and further away. We're growing apart. We're splintering into factions. And really, it's a sad state of affairs. Politics is getting into every aspect of our lives. And it's something that we have to be diligent about and be careful about. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking about some illustrations or examples that would illustrate this. And it didn't take long for something else to pop up on the news, another, crisis or another division, another example. And I think this is a little humorous, but it just shows the state of our society today. The founder of MyPillow, a pillow company, he makes pillows, and he is a supporter of the previous president. And now people are boycotting his company. And as a matter of fact, activists have decided to start a new company of pillow manufacturing so that they could have their pillows. Now, apparently our pillow that we choose has political implications today. That's how far politics have seeped into our lives. We're making political statements based upon the kind of pillow we have. This is what we're seeing in our world, just the pettiness of these things. And really these divisions and polarizations, they're causing a toxic environment in our society. The slightest offense can cause someone to lose their job, get kicked out of college, or get canceled. Getting canceled, basically your life is over. No forgiveness, no redemption. We can laugh about some of these things, but we've seen violent riots this summer at our capital, in our cities. We see the world around us, and we see these divisions. And like I said, breaking up into these factions. As the Lord's people, and this is really what I want to talk about today. As the Lord's people, we cannot allow this toxicity to seep into our fellowship. We cannot allow differences of opinions about contentious issues to divide us. And I don't have to people know what the contentious issues are that often consume our conversations and our discussions with one another. And I want to say today that, I think this is just a taste of the things that we will face in the future. And I believe that this will be one of the greatest challenges that the church faces in the days in which we are living? Unity. Now, I'm not talking about this worldly ecumenicalism where we give up our, you know, essential doctrines for the sake of being together in some kind of man-made unity. That's not what I'm talking about. We need to stand on the truth of the gospel of the word of God. And that's, I'll talk about that too. But we are called to keep the unity of the Spirit. And there is nothing more important than that in our lives, in the testimony of the church. You know, all of these divisions that we see in the political world, every one of those will fade away into nothing. What is going to last, what is going to make a difference in the world today is the church being a clear testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really what's at stake. The devil wants us to be splintered and weak and ineffective in our gospel testimony. That's why this is important. Take a look at Psalm 133. Psalm 133. So we're called to keep the unity. It says in Psalm 133, it's a short psalm. And in fact, our brother Ray spoke on a song of ascent, these songs that the Lord's people would sing on their way to worship in the temple in Jerusalem and going up, ascending to that, to the heights, to be in Jerusalem. And we see here in this passage, you know, the Lord's people, they're traveling together, going in the same direction with the same goal. It says here in Psalm 133, verse 1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is good and it is pleasant when we come together in unity," having the same focus of our attention. That's why the Lord's Supper is so precious, because we come together and we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. That is good and pleasant. And we rejoice in his presence together. That is good and that is pleasant. Verse 2. It is like the precious oil upon the beard, upon the head, I'm sorry. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. Now, today we might read this and not really understand the appeal of that oil running down our head. But to think about it in this sense, the oil, this is the anointing oil. It speaks of God's presence on, in this case, Aaron, the high priest. God's presence, God's blessing. It is the oil of joy and gladness and richness. Blessing from above that flows down. That is what it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Blessings from above, joy, richness, flowing down. Verse 3, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So that dew of Hermon, you think about this dry and desolate place, often the only moisture that an area would get would be that dew that comes down in the morning. It's descending from above, and it is enriching the land. It speaks of renewal, refreshment, freshness. There's nothing like you come out in the morning in the springtime and you get that fresh dew. It fills you with refreshment. You know, this world is a dry and desolate place. And when we come together, it can be a place of refreshment and renewal when we come together in unity. And it says there, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. The Lord commands a blessing in that place at that time. And I believe that's true of the church. When we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's there where God commands a blessing. And I don't know about you, but I need that. I need that. We all need that. We all need this reality in our lives, because they're so easy to be swept up in so many other things. We need this refreshment and renewal. That's the church needs to be a shelter. It needs to be that place of refreshment, like I said. So I want to talk about keys to keeping unity. Keys to keeping unity. Now, you could probably come up with others. There's so many that we could talk about. I broke it down into three things. And these are just things that have been on my heart lately. This isn't an attempt to have an exhaustive list. So keys to keeping unity. Number one, endeavoring to keep the unity. Endeavoring, and that's from Ephesians 4. And then second is the centrality of the Word of God. And from 2 Timothy 4. And then three, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together from Hebrews 10. And that's something that has been our theme passage for the year. And I think it's so important. So keys to keeping unity. There's, like, as I said, there's many others that we could think of, but those are what I want to talk about this morning. So Ephesians 4. And, you know, before I read this, let's pray. I forgot to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. We thank you for your word. Help us now, Lord, as we get into the word, that you would guide and direct and encourage. We pray that your word would go forth, and we just commit this time into your hands. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You know, it says there in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. So this is an important point that we need to remember, is that, notice, we're not called to create unity. We're not called to produce unity by our own efforts. This unity is produced and created by the Holy Spirit of God himself. When a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and has the Spirit of God within, you are in unity with other believers in Christ. We can never experience this unity apart from the Holy Spirit. So this is exclusive. This is exclusive. You need to have the Spirit in order to experience this unity. If I do not have the Spirit of God, I cannot have this unity. So that's just an important point. So we're not called to create a unity. We're not called to produce this. We're called to keep it. We're called to guard it. We're called to be diligent in holding on to it, not breaking it. That's what we're called to do. endeavor to keep the unity. So what does endeavor mean? So endeavor, it means to be diligent, but there's a time element in the Greek word. So it's to be diligent with urgency. So we are to be urgent in regards to endeavoring and be diligent. Think about someone who has given themselves to a career, and every moment of the day, they are working hard and doing what it takes, whatever it takes, giving it everything I have to be successful in this endeavor. That's the thought. We make it a priority in our lives. We work hard. We are diligent. We're giving it everything we have to keep this unity, not allow things to come in our minds, in our discussions with each other, to break that unity. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity. And I mentioned this before, keep, that word, it's guard, hold fast, preserve this precious unity that God has given us. So endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's a bond that we have with one another in this. It's good and it's pleasant to dwell together in unity. So how do we do this? How do we endeavor to keep the unity? How do we do this? What is the inward disposition that we need to have with each other in order to keep this unity? It says in verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love. That's how we do it. Lowliness. Lowliness, it means humility. Humility. And specifically, humility of mind, lowliness of mind. Really, it's the opposite of self-esteem, self-assertion, pride. It's the opposite of that. Modesty, thinking modestly of yourself, not thinking too highly of yourself. Really, it's an understanding that I don't have the whole story. I don't know all the ins and outs. So for me to have an opinion and think that my opinion is the only legitimate one is mistaken. I don't have the whole story. You know, we jump to conclusions and make judgments about people too quickly. We need to be lowly in our thinking, in our mind about each other. You know, when there's a conflict or a difference of opinion, we need to be lowly of mind. You know, here's an example of this. So there was a man on the bus and he was enjoying his nice quiet trip on the bus. And this is actually a true story. There's people reading their papers and, you know, just nice quiet, you know, trip on the bus going to work. And the bus stops and a father gets on the bus with very small children. And these children are very obnoxious. They're running around yelling. The man walks into the bus and sits down. He closes his eyes. And these children are bouncing around, jumping on chairs, throwing things, yelling, grabbing newspapers of people. And, you know, the first man is looking at this saying, what is wrong with this father? Doesn't he see what's happening? He must be a terrible father. And he's having all of these judgments based upon this little bit of information he has, what he's seeing in front of him. And finally, he got so sick of it that he went to the man and he said, sir, your children are bothering the people. And the man opened his eyes and looked around. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. We just came from the hospital. Their mother just died. He's the husband. And I'm sorry. I should have, you know, thought about this, but his mind is somewhere else. Well, immediately he understood what was going on in this man's life. He realized that the judgments that he had jumped to, the conclusions that he reached about this person were completely wrong. That's an example of understanding. I don't have the whole story. I can't be jumping to conclusions about other people and making judgments about them. That's lowliness of mind. So another thing it says here, lowliness, verse 2, lowliness and gentleness or meekness. Meekness or gentleness, it's a inner mildness. It's a readiness to suffer wrong and committing it to God. Meekness is not being easily triggered. That's something that we hear a lot about today, being triggered. You said the wrong thing. You've offended me. This was a microaggression. This is something that has hurt me deeply. Something that not being easily triggered. That's being meek. You know, when there's conflict, when there's offense, we're not easily provoked to wrath, provoked to anger. There's a gentleness. And really, this is our Lord Jesus Christ. This is his character. He wants us, we can have his character in us, and that's what he wants in our lives. What does he say? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Learn of him. Take his yoke upon yourself and learn of him. Learn his ways in regards to dealing with people and being long-suffering and bearing with one another, enduring with each other, putting up with each other. That's what he's called us to do. Being willing to reach out to those that may offend us or hurt us. You know, take a look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 23. It says, 2 Timothy 2:23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That's this idea of enduring. And really understanding, there are people that are in the snare of the devil and have been taken captive. We need to have patience with them. Just like that father that experienced the death of his wife and the mother of his children, we need to have an understanding of what people are going through and what's going, and a humility to be able to forbear, to be able to put up with and able to bear with one another. Long suffering, patience. It's so important. So endeavor to keep the unity in our inner disposition about ourselves and about our attitude and judgments about other people. Be lowly in our thinking. So the second point here, 2 Timothy 4, the centrality of the word of God, keys to keeping the unity. keys to keeping the unity. I was reading this the other day, and just as I mentioned, some of the things that are going on in the world around us today, something just clicked with me. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead and at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So one of the things that people are saying that's perhaps part of the cause of so much polarization in the world today, in our society today, one of the causes of this polarization, it's very easy to insulate ourselves from all contrary opinions. And we really, it's very easy to only hear what you agree with. It's very easy. Part of it is social media. So it's estimated about 50% of people receive all their news from social media. Now you may say, well, you know, what's wrong with that? But here's the issue. Facebook has algorithms. So what Facebook, if you get on Facebook or you get on any social media, they keep track of what you look at and what you're interested in. And so then what happens is they will only send you things that they think that you're interested in, things that you agree with. So you're only, so if that's where your news is coming from, you're only hearing what you already agree with. It's like preaching to the choir over and over again. You never hear any contrary opinions about anything. You know, and here's the thing too. It's so easy then, if you're only hearing one side, it's so easy to make assumptions about the other side. How can anyone think like that, right? How often, I say that all the time. How can anyone think like that? Because I'm only hearing this piece of information. I'm not hearing the other piece of information. You know, and it's, and really that's our, the world we're living in, is that, like I said, it's very easy to insulate yourself from all other contrary opinions and only hearing what you want to hear, only hearing what you agree with. And that's this idea of, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. You know, I'm only going to hear what I want to hear. And that's what's happening in the church today. You know, people are turning away from clear teaching of Scripture, and they're allowing the influence of the world to affect what they're teaching. There really is no hell, that God is not exclusive. Jesus isn't the only way. Jesus is just another name for God. There's other names of God that we can easily believe in, and everything's going to be okay. This non-offensive, you know, just tell me what I want to hear. Everything's going to be okay. So that's a tremendous danger. And the other thing too about this is that if we're only hearing, And it says verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Here's something else that's happening. Social media. There was a tremendous rise in the flat earth conspiracy theories. Well, why is that? Because, again, social media. They have algorithms, and they track you and what you look at, right? So if you are, maybe you're a young earth creationist, well, this, by according to Facebook's algorithms, you must be anti-science. So we're going to start sending you other things that are anti-science. Or maybe you believe in Noah's Ark. Well, that's anti-science. We're going to start sending you this information. And this, so what's happened is people's getting, their news feeds are filled with other conspiracy theories, according to the algorithm. And flat earth is on the rise. So just an example. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You know, I think about that. Are we taken up with conspiracy theories? It's a distraction from what God wants in our lives. You know, there is a conspiracy going on. Absolutely. There is a conspiracy. And really, like I said before, Satan wants us splintered and weak and ineffective. And these are the sorts of things that will suck our life out from us and have us focused on completely the wrong things. But as I said, there is a conspiracy. Take a look at 2 Thessalonians 2. In verse 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless a falling away comes first, and the son of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, or mystery of iniquity is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." So we see this Satan himself, or the Antichrist, standing in the temple of God, declaring that he is God. This consummation of this plan of Satan to do these things, the pieces of the puzzle are already being put in place. It is called the mystery of iniquity. These things are going to happen. So there is a conspiracy going on, and that's what it is. Satan himself is working to this consummation of his rebellion against God. So how are we to respond to this? What are we supposed to do in light of this? What are we supposed to do in the face of all this deception? You know, it says, verse 8, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." So we know how it all ends. We know how this conspiracy ends. It fails. It says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders." There, again, there's that deception. So, and with all unrighteousness, among all those that perish. Okay, so what are we supposed to do in light of this? Jump ahead to verse 15. How are we supposed to react in light of all of this? Verse 15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle." Now, the Apostle Paul is saying, stand fast and hold onto the traditions. Now, he's not talking about traditions that come about after certain periods of time. He's talking about the word of the apostles, the apostles' doctrine. That's what he's talking about. Today, we don't hear it by word. he's talking to the Thessalonians that heard it by word. He's saying, stand fast and hold on to these things that you've heard, the apostolic ministry, the doctrine, whether by word or by epistle. We have the word of God. We have the apostles' doctrine. This is what we need to stand fast on and listen to and take heed to. That's how we respond to the conspiracy that we know is going to fail. Verse 16, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So in the meantime, and while we're waiting for this to end, we are to be taken up with good works, good words, comforts, comforting each other, laboring in the gospel together. That's what we're supposed to be doing in these days in which we're living. Laying hold of the word of God, stand fast. So back there in 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, 2 Peter 4, you know, he says, verse 2, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. We need to be under the word of God together. We need to be reading from the same book. You know, as I was talking about, where, you know, certain groups of people only hear this side of the story. Certain groups of people only hear this side of the story. They're hearing from this source, and this group is hearing from this source, and they're being polarized. We need to be together and read from the same book, the same source. This is where we get our, the word of God. This is where we get it from. We need to be under the word of God together. You know, Wednesday nights, we have a Bible study. We come together and we hear the word of God. God has something to say to you. You know, do you believe that? Do we believe that every time the word of God is opened and we're together, God has something to say to you? We need to have that idea, that reality. We need to understand that reality. We need to be in the word of God together. That will keep the unity. We're all hearing the same thing. We're hearing the same book, the same message. That will build unity in God's people. So, lastly, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, the third key to keeping unity is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, as I mentioned before, you know, Zoom obviously is not ideal for this. You know, it's difficult. It's a challenge to maintain our unity in this kind of setting. We're only seeing this little box of each other. We're only seeing this little bit of each other, and we can see you, but there's a fellowship that I think all of our hearts desire. And we pray for this to come to a point when we can all be together as we want to. But as I said before, Zoom is better than nothing. It's not ideal, but it's better than nothing. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. It goes along with some of the things we were saying before, holding fast. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You know, considering one another, consider, it's to stop and think about each other. We stop and we think about, pray about each other. Yeah, we stop and think about them, not to say, you know, what's wrong with him? what's wrong with what? Why don't they think like this? Or why don't they think like that? That's not what this is. It says, let us consider, let's stop and think about one another in order to stir up love and good works. You know, we need to appreciate each other's gifts and abilities and passions. And we need to stir up and encourage each other to express those gifts. And this is difficult. As I said, this is a challenge right now. It is, because we're not spending time together. So things get missed, unfortunately. Things aren't seen. That, you know, I think, you know, people have passions for certain things, and those things are easily missed because we're not spending the time together like we should be. But we need to be patient with one another and endeavor to keep the unity in the light of these things. So it says, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And as I mentioned before, this is, you know, in light of the day that's coming, we need more and more to be together. Not ideal on Zoom. If you can make it at the chapel, you can, you know, make it to the chapel if you can. Either way, it's fine. Just don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because we will grow apart, because this world is pulling in different directions. You know, when we're apart, it's so easy for false impressions and assumptions about each other kind of take over. But when we come together and we're together, suddenly all those things kind of fade away. All those false impressions and assumptions about each other, they just fade away when you're together. So that's why this is a challenge. That's why we have to be on guard about our thinking about each other. So those are three keys to maintain, to keep the unity. Endeavoring, you know, giving diligence to maintain the unity with one another. And secondly, to be in the Word of God together, the centrality of the Word of God. We come together as his people to hear the Word of God, to hear a message. And God has something to say. And we're hearing from the same source. We're hearing from the same, TV station, right? We're watching the same station all together. Hearing the Word of God. And then we cannot neglect the assembling of ourselves together. We have to be together as best we can. As I said, we know it's not ideal, but as much as we can, let's be together. And, you know, one thing I want to say, men, huddle meetings. Let's do the huddle meetings. If you can get together in person, let's do it. If you want to get on Zoom with other people on Zoom, do it. Let's do it. We'll get that kicked off soon, because we need to be together however we can. So thank you, everyone, for your time, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the meek and lowly one. We thank you that he calls us to learn of him. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us now. I pray that we would all be endeavoring to keep the unity amongst ourselves. Help us to stand together, stand fast in your word. Lord, we see the world around us, and we see the strife in our world, and we pray that those things would not seep into our fellowship, but Lord, we would be together with you. Thank you, Lord, that being together is good and pleasant. We thank you for this day now. We commit it into your hands. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Joel. At this time, our sister in the Lord, Donna Harris, she has a special number that she's going to sing in to close our meeting. And it's entitled, Oh, How Good It Is, by Keith and Kristen Getty. And so, Donna, at this time, I'll turn it over to you, and we'll listen to this special number.
Oh, how good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit, in faith and unity, where the bonds of peace, of acceptance and love are the fruits of his presence here among us. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out his word, till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for he dwells in the presence of his people. Oh, how good it is on this journey we share to rejoice with the happy and weep with those who mourn. For the weak find strength, the afflicted find grace when we offer the blessing of belonging. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out his word, till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for he dwells in the presence of his people. Oh, how good it is to embrace his command, to prefer one another, forgive as he forgives. When we live as one, we all share in the love of the Son with the Father and the Spirit. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out his word, till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for he dwells in the presence of his people.
Thank you so much, Donna. Those were beautiful words and beautifully sung. Thank you. Fred, if there's any announcements before we close. Okay, I guess we'll close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the unity that we have together because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he gives us this unity because of what he did on the cross, dying for all of our sins. Everything that separated us and separated us from you is all gone. And now we have unity, and we can worship you in unity and in spirit and truth. And so we pray in these difficult days that we would all be focused on you, Lord Jesus, waiting for your return, and drawing near to you, and therefore also closer to one another. And we ask this, and we thank you for this time we had together. In Jesus' name, amen.